I like the book of John. There's so much in there, power-packed stuff. And tonight we're going to be talking about just existing. Just existing. You ever feel that way?
Yeah.
Well, it's just another day. Or I'm making it. I'm getting by. Sometimes these are answers that you get when you ask somebody, "How are you doing?" "Well, I'm making it. I'm getting by." It's not often that you ask somebody, "How are you doing?" and they say, "Wonderful!" Right?
Right.
There's very little joy or happiness, not a lot to write home to mama about. Not much motivation to do a whole lot over and above the norm. There's going to be times that you and I find ourselves in this place. And we did nothing to get there. But it's not the place where God wants us to stay. And here in John, Jesus addresses this, I believe. We're going to read one verse, and then later we'll read some more. But the verse is verse 11. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full."
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that tonight you would illuminate our minds with your word.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will show us individually what we need tonight.
Yes.
I pray that you would help me to accurately relay your message to your people. Lord, you know what we need. We don't. But I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would relay that to us tonight.
Yes.
Lord, help us to put it into action in our life. Help us, Father, to experience the joy that only you can provide. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you." When he says that, it drives us to find out what these things are, because he's talking about here in this verse that he wants our joy to be full.
Amen.
When you go to the restaurant and you ask for water or sweet tea or Coke or whatever you request, and they bring you a glass with that much in there, you're not going to be happy about that. You're going to say, "Hey, can I get a full glass?"
Okay.
Nobody wants a quarter of a cup unless it's vinegar and honey. No, we want a full cup, and we want a full cup of joy.
Yes.
So if our joy is going to be full because of these things, then we need to know what they are. So let's look back to verse 4, same chapter. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." So he's talking about abiding in him.
Yeah.
Right? So let's read verse 10 again. Verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life when my joy was not very much.
Yeah.
And when I think of experiencing the joy that Jesus had, I want that.
Yes, amen.
Remember, Jesus had so much joy. The Bible says that He, with joy, went to the cross. Remember when He prayed in the garden for plan B.
Okay.
It was going to be rough.
Mm-hmm.
The roughest thing that He or any human could ever go through.
Right.
And He knew that. Yet, He went to the cross with joy. He went to the most agonizing thing that He would ever experience with joy. That gives us hope. Because we face some agonizing things as well. And we would like to experience joy in it. So there it is. These things that Jesus is talking about is simply abiding in Christ. I don't know about you, but for a long time of my life, I've always been a little bit foggy on what that meant, to abide in Christ. But then when I read verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So, there's really, he makes it clear right there that to abide in Christ means to obey Him. Is that what you get when you read that verse 10? If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Abiding in Christ is remaining obedient to Him. That's it. Obedience is key.
Yes.
That's why we have verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus wants us to have joy more than we want to have joy.
That's right.
It's kind of like, most of us in here are parents, okay? It's kind of like when we see our children suffering because of a bad choice. That agonizes us.
Yes, it does.
We wish, we hope, we pray that they one day will get it so that they will once again have joy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what Jesus does. He wants us to have joy more than we want to have joy.
Amen.
Now I want you to see something else of vital importance. We're going to read verse 11 again, because repetition is the key to learning.
Amen.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now right after saying that He wants our joy to be full, which comes from being obedient, He gives us a command. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment. Remember, He just got through saying, if you abide in me and you're obedient, you're going to have joy, full joy. So, I have a commandment for you. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another.
Thank you, Lord.
As I have loved you.
Wow.
You're probably saying, well, I do love people. I help people. I do this. I do that. I give here. I give there. I love people. The test of loving like Christ is not loving Jesus. It's loving Judas.
That is the truth.
It's easy to love other people. Jesus talked about that. He even said, he says even the publicans love their friends.
Right.
The people that love them.
Yeah.
The people that are easy to love. But I say unto you, love your enemies.
Amen.
We want full joy, don't we? But we're disobedient right here.
It's true.
We're not abiding in Christ. Could it be that our joy isn't full because we aren't loving those hard to love people?
Mm.
We all have them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's that neighbor. I do tree work for a lot of people that complain about their neighbor. He just won't do anything about his trees. Look at that. It's a common thing. It might be that person at work. Who knows? But we all have them, right?
Right.
Remember King Saul?
Mm-hmm.
He lost his joy and his peace when he quit abiding in Christ through obedience to love David.
Yeah.
He got jealous of David.
Yes,
right.
That jealousy grew to hatred.
Yes, it did.
That hatred grew to premeditated murder.
Yes.
Of which he tried for years.
Yeah.
He never gave up on that, and he never enjoyed joy and peace again.
That's right. Yeah,
Brother Bruce, Brother David murdered too.
Mm.
And he had joy. Wait. He had joy because he repented.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Saul never repented.
That's right.
Saul held his grudge to the end. While David slept at night, Saul laid awake, gritting his teeth about David. That's the interesting thing about unforgiveness, holding grudges. The person we're mad with, they sleep pretty good.
Yeah.
We're the ones struggling. So while Saul was gritting his teeth, David was saying, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. That's why he had joy. That's why he had peace. He chose to be obedient, to love Saul, even though Saul was his true enemy. When we choose to not repent of our sin, we also choose to only exist.
Lord help.
To go through life with no joy, no purpose, no fulfillment of life.
Amen.
Just barely making it from one day to the next. Even King David went through this spell of life. Right after committing adultery with Bathsheba and killing her husband. In fact, it lasted for about a year until the prophet Nathan pointed his finger at him and said, you're the man.
Yeah.
That's when David repented. Then he wrote several different psalms. Psalm 51, Psalm 31. Describing how he felt. Before he repented.
Right.
And after.
Mm.
He said before he repented, his bones ached.
Yeah.
they dried up. That gives us the idea that his health was declining. He said, Psalm 31, "For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed." During the time when David refused to repent, life was a drag. It was pointless, purposeless. He was barely getting by until he repented. There's a group, if you want to turn there, Nehemiah. There's a group of people in Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. Nehemiah 12, 43. The Bible says, "Also that day they offered great sacrifices." Talking about the Israelites. Right after they rebuilt the Jerusalem wall. "And rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." These Israelites were so full of joy and happiness, the surrounding cities heard them rejoicing. That's pretty loud,
Amen. Isn't
it?
Amen.
What brought this on? Well, remember that for decades, the Israelites were not serving God. In fact, that's why they were in captivity to Babylon, because God allowed them to be taken captive because of their sin. So for decades, they were not serving God. They were not fulfilling the Mosaic law, and they were not happy. They had no joy. If you read through the book of Nehemiah, you'll find that Ezra went and found the Bible as they knew it, and he read it for hours. The Bible says that they stood for hours listening to Ezra reading the Bible. When they read that Bible, they found out, we're not doing right. We're not doing this, we're not doing that. All these things that are part of the Levitical law, we're not doing that. We're in trouble with God. So then they decided, okay, we're fixing to put all this back into order. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. We're going to follow what God said. And that's when this happened. What we just read in verse 43. They read their Bible. They recognized what they were not doing correctly. They repented. Then they obeyed. And they started having joy. Nothing will ever bring us more joy than coming back to God in humble repentance.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
That's why we're not having it. Because of disobedience.
Amen.
Notice it says in that verse 43, God made them rejoice.
Yes, he
did. Joy comes from God.
Yes.
You don't buy it on Amazon. You don't go down there to that store and get it. No matter how much money you have.
Right.
Only God can provide joy. He's the originator of it.
Amen. Giver.
King Saul had it for a span of time till jealousy set in.
Lord.
And it infected his spirit. And then he never saw it again. Because he never repented. Israel lost it for decades until they repented.
Mm.
hood.
King David lost it for about a year until he repented. Don't live life only existing. Did you know that you can be missing on joy and not know it? Jesus is knocking on your door.
Yes, he is.
Amen. He wants to enjoy a close relationship, but sin separates. And we can be blinded to our sin.
Right.
I'm talking about us and here. I'm not talking about those people.
Right.
I'm talking about me and you.
Yeah.
We can be blinded to our sin. We can see everybody else's sin very clearly. We have 20/20 vision when it comes to seeing that person's sin. But for some reason, we have blinders on when it comes to seeing our own. That's why David said, "Search me, O God. Know my heart." He wanted God to point it out because he knew the very good likelihood of not seeing his own sin. That's what we need to do. It's very possible that you are only existing due to a sin that you're not even aware of. Because after a period of time, and I think this is what happened with David, we forget that we even sin. And it's not even in our minds that we've yet to go to God about it and confess it, forsake it, and then turn around and start obeying Him. Of course, there's many sins. Jesus, in John 15, right after talking about joy, pointed one out. Loving each other like he loves us. Remember, the real test of loving Christ is not loving Jesus, it's loving Judas. Jesus never said one negative thing about Judas. He fed him, he taught him, he provided for him. He even called him friend on that last day. And I think he meant it. Because Jesus wouldn't say anything he didn't mean. Only after genuine repentance will joy return. I encourage you to make that same prayer that King David made. Search me. Show me my sin so that I can repent. So that I can once again have joy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for showing me my sin. I pray, Father, that you would continue to open my eyes to the things that are displeasing to you about me. Lord, I pray that you would restore my joy.
Yes, please.
And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand for 481.